You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
And let me finish with this. With global interest rates at close to 17-year highs, conservative investors are benefiting from generous yield environments. The consensus view is that rates have peaked, but markets have dialed back their expectations on when the US Fed is going to start a rate-cutting cycle. More now from Adam Furlan, who's portfolio manager at 91. And Adam, firstly, are we likely, in your opinion, to see an aggressive rate-cutting cycle ahead?
No, not expecting to see an aggressive rate cutting cycle. The reason for that is we're talking about the US economy here, and the reason for that being the Fed and what they are seeing in the US economy is a very strong economy at the moment. So whilst they've had inflation, progress on inflation, predominantly from goods prices, they're also seeing labor market rebalancing, but remaining quite strong, low levels of unemployment, activity holding up very well. And therefore, they can normalize policy, adjust policy lower to keep real rates at the same level because inflation has come down. But we don't expect a recession. We don't expect a significant slowdown in growth. And therefore, that means that they don't need to aggressively reduce rates. They can do it at quite a gradual pace.
Having said that, though, investors then, what do they need to start doing in terms of adjusting their strategy to capitalize on any movement in this direction?
So investors in global markets, what we're seeing priced in at the moment is about 90 basis points of rate cuts for the year in the U.S., and what we may eventually see is that not being realized. So we expect 3 cuts from the U.S. over the course of the year, but that is very data dependent. There's obviously risks that labor markets do crack, or we do see the regional banking crisis that has been quite contained start to expand a bit further. But in that regard, if things play out as we expect and we do have a very gradual rate cutting cycle, that is still a very good environment for global risky assets, things like equities, things like global credit, and things like global fixed income. You're actually expecting a sort of Goldilocks scenario where the Fed is becoming slightly more accommodative, allowing a bit more liquidity into the market, reducing interest rates, and at the same time, you don't expect growth to fall off a cliff. So assets that are correlated to growth, to US growth especially, are likely to perform well. So I think what an investor should be thinking about is maybe the difference in what's happening in global economies, because whilst we're seeing a very strong picture in the US, we're seeing less so in Europe and the UK and other parts of the world. So I think for us in our global diversified income fund, for example, we're sticking more of our duration in economies that are weakening and will need accommodation faster, like the UK and like Europe, as opposed to the US.
So you're very focused on that. Are there other geographic preferences then that you're looking at?
Geographically, I can talk to emerging markets. Mm. And once again, it is a very nice environment for emerging markets. It's a very conducive environment for emerging market growth. The risk you have is the Chinese recovery continues to stall as it has for quite some time. And however, we are still in that environment where global growth is likely to be better than expected as people shift their expectations from a recession in 2024 further out and moving towards a soft landing and even better growth expectations. That is a good environment for emerging markets. And with global interest rates falling, that will likely drive inflows into the emerging market environment.
And how are you factoring an inflation outlook then into that over the next 12 to 18 months, which is important?
Over the next 12 to 18 months, we expect inflation to continue to fall. However, I mean, we've recently had a CPI print out of the US. That surprised to the upside, and that was predominantly due to rentals, housing inflation. So whilst we've had very solid progress on inflation, we've seen the last 6 months, if you look at 6 months of annualized month-on-month prints, inflation in the US has been running at 2% on a shorter horizon. However, on a one-year outlook, it's still above 3%. The Fed focuses on core PCE, which applies a lower weight to housing. So they're less concerned about that housing inflation in their targets. However, what we see is because of the strong activity and the strong labor market that we're seeing in the US, we think that services inflation, the part of the basket that hasn't come down as quickly as goods inflation has, we think that services inflation may prove a bit sticky, and therefore people's expectations that we will have US inflation back at 2% by the end of the year may be a bit premature. We think maybe it becomes a bit sticky in the 2.5 to 3% level and takes a bit longer to get back, which is why we actually expect the Fed to be slower than people's expectations in reducing interest rates. If I shift that story over to emerging markets, I think the one big difference we're seeing in and have seen in emerging markets over the inflation cycle that we've just come through is that, I mean, EM was somewhat less impacted through very, very severe fiscal policy, very strong fiscal stimulus. And because of that, EM didn't have that massive services inflation, and therefore has had a better experience than we've seen in the likes of the major economies in this experience. And what has caused emerging market inflation to remain quite sticky has been food inflation. Food inflation over the second half of last year picked up quite substantially, and that drove EM inflation higher. We're now seeing that moderating, and we expect inflation in emerging economies to come down quite nicely.
And that's a very comprehensive assessment. Adam Furlan from 91, thank you very much indeed.